In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is a joyous day because today we celebrate the feast of St. Anthony the Great. Now, St. Anthony is surely one of the foundational saints of the Orthodox Church, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, ascetic who ever lived. And yet, his story is probably one that most people have heard about, but that many people don't really know. Now, of course, he lived a long time. It's recorded anywhere from 102 to 105 years old. So he saw a lot in his lifetime. And of course, one of his friends, the great Saint Athanasius the Great, actually set down his life, which is one of the reasons why it's so famous today. But Anthony was, from the time he was a young child, a parent would only describe him as the perfect little boy. He was not someone who was getting into trouble all the time. He was not someone that was trying to pursue the pleasures that most young kids wish to pursue today. He was someone who was always, from earliest age, very studious, very serious, and most of all, he loved the things of the church. He liked being in church as much as he possibly could. Of course, one might call him privileged today because his parents were quite wealthy. But yet, early on, there were two things that caused Anthony to pursue the life that he did. One was that he heard the words of the gospel, "Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have riches in the kingdom of heaven." That was something that struck him to the heart. He felt like God was speaking to him directly, like it was the word that came straight from God. It so pierced his heart at that time. And the other one was that we should not be anxious, anxious about anything in this life. And these were the two guiding principles of his entire life. So when he was 18 years old, his parents passed away. And he still had a younger sister that he had to maintain. So he took all of the fortune of his parents, including many hundreds of acres of land that they owned, and he gave it to the poor and distributed the land amongst the populace there. And he kept just a little bit back to make sure that his sister would be okay. But at that point, he really, really desired a more intensive spiritual life. And you have to keep in mind that back then, there were no real monasteries. St. Anthony is known as the founder of monasticism, and that's probably true in a larger sense. But in the smaller sense, there were still a number of people at that time that were leading monastic-style lives. And in fact, Anthony heard about them, and he went out searching for them in order that he could learn from his elders in the faith about the things of God. So he went all around the place, talking to as many people as he could, and finally set out for the desert. Now, if there's one thing that you need to know about Anthony the Great, if there was only one thing that you could remember, it should probably be this, that no saint in the history of the church has so taken on the evil demonic powers as St. Anthony did. He was someone who wrote about this many, many times. His entire life is filled with incidences where he is battling with the devil, sometimes in physical form. Sometimes the devils beat him. Sometimes they injured him badly. But yet he insisted to the end of his life not to be afraid of them. These are the things that he learned. Today, of course, the devil doesn't usually appear to most of us. Sometimes the devil may seem to be doing things in our lives that cause us a lot of turmoil, and we may be distraught about things. But the devil today has so captured most of the world that he doesn't need to go head-to-head with anyone, except in a few certain cases that we see around the world at different times. But in Anthony's day, it was different. There were not the distractions that we have today. But yet Anthony knew that for him to pursue the spiritual life, he had to confront the devil head on, face to face. And that's what he did his entire life. It was very visceral to him. It was something that he knew that he had to get beyond, that he had to get by the myriad temptations that came at him, that all the things that were assaulting him. Going to live in the desert was no easy thing. It took a lot of commitment. It took a lot of love for God and trust in him to do these sorts of things. And the devil fought him every instance, every single moment of his life practically. He was besieged by these demonic spirits, and yet he was triumphant over them. And the one thing that he said that should resonate with all of us today is that don't be afraid of them. They are nothing. Don't let them intimidate you. They are simply jealous of the gifts that God has given to mankind. And so you can combat them. You can fight them. That there is no reason for them to cause you any despair or despondency or any of these sorts of things, because Christ has overcome them, and those who are in Christ will overcome them as well. He laughed at the demons. He knew them so well. And if you're ever interested in learning about the Orthodox vision of what demonology really is, read The Life of St. Anthony the Great by St. Athanasius, because it will tell you in great detail the things that Anthony had to do. And of course, as he went on, he went into the desert. He found this fortress, this abandoned fortress, where he lived for about 20 years in this battle with Satan and growing spiritually with God. And of course, word got around, as it always does. Many, many people began to be interested in this kind of life, and they would come to Anthony. And the movement grew and grew and grew. And we're talking around 270 AD when this was happening. Anthony had already been through one persecution, that of Decius. And he would go through other ones as well. But yet he never stopped trying to love the Lord, to defend the things of the faith. Athanasius, of course, was one of the great defenders against the heresy of Arianism. And he went, of course, in the year 325, he was a member of the first ecumenical council of Nicaea. Anthony lived through that too. He was also a defender of the faith. And he counseled people up to his deathbed to absolutely stay away from the Arians, because they would bring your soul to hell. He simply said, don't go anywhere near them. Have nothing to do with them. And so besides being a defender of the faith and a founder of monasticism and someone who was absolutely the greatest ascetic of the Orthodox Church and set the standards for asceticism all through the church, he was also one that was bright and cheerful and loved God. And people saw him and they knew this. They could tell by his countenance that when they were in his presence, they would calm down. They would relax. They would detect the Spirit of God. Anthony continued on and on and on, trying at one point to find some solace, some solitude, because so many thousands of people were following him. And he finally went up the Nile River, and he stayed there for a while. But yet, people still sought him out. They would not let him go, because he was so great an influence in the early church. We call him Anthony the Great because he was great in so many areas of his life that we cannot even count the ways that his spiritual efforts helped so many Christians at the time. He worked so many miracles throughout his life that they're countless. And yet he was very, very concerned that somehow the spirit of pride would enter into him because of these miracles that he was working. Many times he was not even intending to work a miracle. But he would come to someone and they would ask for healing or something, and he would say, well, healing only comes from God. I can't do anything. And then this person would say, thank you, Abba, and they would go away and they'd be healed immediately. This sort of personality, this sort of charismatic individual who was so concerned with the things of the church, so concerned with the things of God, is hard for us to imagine today. Because, well, first of all, we're not back then. We're not at the nascent years of the Christian church when this sort of thing was exploding all over. But at the same time, this type of personage is rare. Even in our lifetimes, we do see many saints that have appeared among us that give us a hint of what this sort of ability might have been. St. John Maximovich is one, of course. St. Elizabeth, the Grand Duchess, the Wonder Worker, is another one. And there are many others. St. Nectarius of Agade. We know St. Porphyrius. There are just so many, it seems like, that God has raised up among us these days in these terrible and difficult and persecuted times when we may not be physically under assault, but spiritually we certainly are by so many powers of the world that we live in. And yet St. Anthony just walked through them like a hot knife through butter. Nothing would stop him in his pursuit of God. And because of his greatness, of his appearance, of his unceasing efforts, from almost the time he could speak to the time he died of loving God, it is something we should all take to heart and emulate. He is someone that even today we can gain much solace from. And reading his life, besides that of St. Athanasius, there's a more compacted life that St. Simeon Metaphrastes, the translator, did as well. We can read these things and we can see how serious he was, how intent he was. And one of the other great things about the life that we read is St. Athanasius, who is so diligent in recording these things, we can see that some of the lives that came afterwards, some of the things that we might have thought, well, gee, can I really believe this? Can I really believe that? Yes, you can, because you see it in the life of St. Anthony. Besides St. Athanasius and many other luminaries at the time, Constantine the Great himself, St. Constantine the Great, and his two sons corresponded with St. Anthony. His presence was everywhere. He was truly the light of Christ in the world at his time. And that's why the Lord allowed him so many years here on earth, although he himself desired martyrdom with a tremendous, tremendous want for that. As we read in his life, he wanted to be martyred because he understood what the other Christians were going through. And he would go and he would pray with them and pray for them. But yet God did not grant him that gift. God did not allow him to become a martyr because he was to be martyred in other ways. Other ways in his fight with the satanic powers of his time and also ours. He was someone who we almost have to fall down on our hands and knees before him, because this was a man that was so great, so powerful in the Spirit of God, so loving towards everyone, and so influential for so long that his mark has been left indelibly upon the church today. So when you hear this name, St. Anthony the Great, don't just let it fly by you like it's nothing. Don't say, well, yeah, he's just another saint, okay? He's far more than that. The church surnames very few people the Great. And St. Anthony was the first one to receive this appellation by the church. Because in all things, to all people, in all categories of spiritual warfare, of defense of the church, of philanthropy towards people, of loving people, of wanting them all to come into the kingdom of heaven, St. Anthony was first in line. And so we should remember him in our prayers, ask him for his intercession, because it is surely something that is very, very great before God. Amen.